Thank you for choosing to listen to Number One Rerun. We are Zoe and Carla, and each episode we get pop culture nostalgic after asking the listeners one simple question. Give us a date.
That's right, and this week we are heading to the 5th of January 2005. Let's go. Hello, Zoe.
Happy New Year, Carla.
Oh, Happy New Year to you.
Although, at the time that this goes out, I feel like the cutoff point for saying Happy New Year is probably past.
It's kind of past now, even when we're recording it.
But don't you find that people at work, if they haven't spoken to you, even like 4 weeks later, if it's the first time they're speaking to you, they'll feel obliged to say like Happy New Year.
Well, I had this dilemma when I've been sending emails for the last week, and I'm like, hope you kept safe and well over the festive period. Happy New Year. And I'm like, oh, when can I stop this?
Well, do you know what I've got down to? Just a bit of HNY.
Oh, no. Oh. How unprofessional. I'm not sure about that. I don't like that. I wouldn't like to receive an email where someone said HNY.
No?
No.
I signed it off with TTFN.
Do you reckon anyone actually knows that?
What, TTFN?
I mean, like, kids of today, if you said that to them, they wouldn't know what you were talking about.
No.
But I think we should bring that back. I might start using that. I might change my signature to that.
You should. I think that goes with your brand.
It does, definitely. All this kind regards, Carla. No. TTFN, Carla.
Yeah.
So we are heading back to the 5th of January 2005.
Yeah, not too far back this time.
And this was sent in by, I think his name is Will. He sent it via an iTunes review, so thank you very much for that. It's very nice, but part of the name is Will, so I presume that's your name. And this is for Ben. And it's Ben's birthday present. So first off, sorry, Ben, this is late. Apologies on Will's behalf.
Also, bit cheap, Will. I hope you gave him like a holding present on the actual date.
Imagine if he just sent him a link to this saying, keep watch on this.
I don't know whether I'd be happy or not with that as a recipient.
I mean, having a podcast dedicated to you is probably quite a nice gift. It's just that, unfortunately, we're delivering that gift, and that's kind of not the nice bit, is it?
The thing is, if it was a choice between someone dedicating a podcast to me and some of the old toot that you buy me for my birthday, I think I'd take the podcast.
Okay, I see your point. I see your point. But anyway, happy birthday, Ben.
Happy birthday, Ben. Oh, he's going to be an adult soon, isn't he?
I mean, you know that my mind is now whirring trying to work out how old he is, Zoe. I'm not as sharp as you with the old mathematics. So
he's turned 17.
He's just turned 17. Might be getting driving lessons. Hopefully Will's bought him some driving lessons to go along with this podcast.
Yeah, he can listen to us in the car.
Great. Should we get on to what was number one on this date?
Let's.
I'll be honest with you, Ben. It's not great. Number one in the UK on this date, Steve Brookstein with Against All Odds.
Now, I think the problem is Steve Brookstein came and went so quickly that Ben is going to have absolutely no clue who he is.
What I will say, Ben, is he was the first winner of The X Factor, and you're going to know what that is.
Maybe not even.
Well, I don't know. That's where Little Mix came from, and you know Little Mix, don't you, Ben?
Are you assuming that Ben's a Little Mix fan?
He's going to know who they are, isn't he?
Yeah, that's true.
I remember watching this really, really vividly, this first series, because I loved it. It was great, wasn't it? The first few series of The X Factor was good entertainment.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't want him to win outright, but over, what was it? I want to call him G4S. They're just G4, aren't they? G4S is a company. Over G4, I think I wanted him to win.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, but slim pickings, wasn't it?
It wasn't a great final. It was G4 who did songs, but turned them into like opera songs, didn't they?
Yeah.
So, which was great when they did Bohemian Rhapsody, and then just not great any other time they performed.
This will put it in context for you. My mum loved G4.
Oh, sorry. Steve was kind of, I mean, I feel, you know, he had a good voice. He did. He could sing.
Yeah.
I know since then, issues. Honestly, Google, this is another rabbit hole I go down. Google just Steve Brookstein, Simon Cowell, X Factor, the revelations that man has come out with about allegedly what goes on behind the scenes is quite shocking.
Oh, really?
Mm.
I know he was very, like, you know, Kate was quite vitriolic about it afterwards.
Look, he did quite well, to be fair.
No, he didn't.
He went to number one.
Yeah, but then after he did add nothing after that, did he?
What I will say was this, this was all around the time that I was working in Virgin Megastore. And basically, if you had loads of copies of an album, they would do something called recalls. And they would basically take them all back and then they would be shipped out to different Virgin stores across the country so that everyone could try and distribute and get rid of it. And if that didn't happen, they used to go to the company that now own Poundland. So a lot of the Poundland CDs you see are from stock that never sold in Virgin and HMV. Mm. And if they didn't want them, we used to have to get a knife and score the back of the CDs so they couldn't be played and just put them into landfill.
Oh, God. What? And Steve Brookstein was...
Steve Brookstein was one of the ones that I slashed. Quite a few copies. I would say at least over 50 copies had to be slashed and put in the bin. He wasn't wanted anywhere, and I think that's really sad.
It gives me palpitations about how much landfill is created by...
Yeah, I mean, look, what I will say is I'm sure that Virgin would not do that kind of thing now. Yeah, I don't want to get the company into any trouble. This was before we understood climate change. So, you know, I'm not knocking them, but that was just the way it was. And loads of people ended up with that fate. But I think Steve and Michelle McManus were the ones that I think I had to score the most with the old penknife.
Well, Michelle McManus, she had a really quite a decent voice.
Yeah, she did. But again, I mean, we just ordered too many in. There was just too many copies.
Apparently, Steve Brookstein thinks that 5G gives you AIDS.
Okay. Strong opinion.
Yeah, he tweeted that year before last. Pointed out is actually what song he did. So he did Against All Odds by Phil Collins, which is a brilliant song.
It's a great song.
I mean, a bit overplayed, I would say, but still a great song.
Yeah. Right, shall we move on?
Yeah.
The number one film in the USA on this date was Meet the Fockers.
I liked the first one because it was new and, you know, a bit different. I wasn't a fan of this one.
I'm going to tell you something you might find outrageous.
Go on.
I think it's better than the first one.
Really? Well, because you jumped on that bandwagon of, like, because they had Barbara Streisand saying outrageous things and all that stuff. No, that was honestly, that was what wound me up so much.
Why was I on that bandwagon?
Well, because that's how it ended up people saying it was a better one. Because they had Barbara Streisand and wasn't she some kind of sex-crazed mother? Like, yeah. I'm sure that's the thing that they sort of hooked onto to say it was a better film.
I'm not sure that was... I mean, she was funny in it. Don't get me wrong. I just thought it was very, very stupid, obviously. But I don't know. I remember seeing it at the cinema with my friend and I laughed like a drain from start to finish.
Oh, my God, that's such an old lady phrase. I laugh like a drain.
I thought it was a really, really funny film. And I'm not that big a fan of Ben Stiller, actually. I don't think he's as funny as everyone says he is, but...
I think he's a bit of a one-trick pony.
Agreed.
As is Owen Wilson, actually.
Oh, I think even more so.
Yeah.
I think they're both quite overrated. I know that's controversial.
No, I agreed wholeheartedly. I watched, what's that one, Walter Mitty or whatever, with Ben Stiller, that was supposed to be like him being completely different. Yeah. It wasn't really.
I like a lot of these films. I do, but I just, yeah, I've never, I don't see a film that he's in and think I must see it because Ben Stiller's in it.
No, Dodgeball was one of my favourite films, though.
Good film.
I love that film. But anyway, Meet the Fockers. Yeah. I just got nothing on it.
Dustin Hoffman was really funny in it. Oh, I think he was a good addition to the cast. He made me laugh.
Well, I think, but that was the thing. I think, like, having Dustin Hoffman and Barbara Streisand were the only, like, yeah, the only things you could sort of hang on. And to say, by this point in his career, I don't know what Robert De Niro was up to or has been up to since.
I don't understand why Robert De Niro chooses the films that he chooses.
Honestly.
Not necessarily this one, but this was as it started to tip into, it's an odd film for him to pick. And then it just is like, all of a sudden he's doing Dirty Grandpa and you're like, what?
He peaked at Dirty Grandpa.
I have seen that film and honestly, it's one of the worst things I've ever seen.
I can't bring myself to.
Don't. It's so horrific. This is one of the greatest actors of all time. Why is he choosing these films? I just don't understand. He's not short of money.
No. Unless that's the thing. Maybe he's just like, I'll just do what I like the look of.
No, and I admire that. If you can just do what you like the look of, but surely he didn't like the look of Dirty Grandpa. Surely.
Maybe, isn't he quite a sweary old man?
But it's dirty. It's like American Pie for OAPs. It's really uncomfortable. I found it an uncomfortable watch.
No, I can't be doing with that.
No. So, like, yeah, I mean, maybe you could understand him taking these, like a bit of light-hearted comedy, but not some of the ones that he's picked.
No.
But wasn't this one where he had his grandson in it and he was teaching him sign language?
What? In real life?
No, in the thing.
I don't know. Why was he teaching his grandson sign language?
Because he couldn't speak yet, and he was doing this, you've probably heard of it, baby sign language.
We did that when Esme was little.
Yeah, I was just going to say, that is the kind of thing that you would have done.
It's actually very good.
Hmm.
Don't say like that.
No, look, I haven't got a child, so I can't say, but in the film, they were laughing at him teaching this child sign language. But I bet now, so many years later, it's probably viewed as quite a normal thing to do. And you've just confirmed it because you did it.
Yeah. But was he teaching the grandson dirty sign? Dodgy?
No, this is Meet the Fockers. This isn't Dirty Grandpa. He was teaching him how to ask for milk.
Oh, yeah, that's very common. That's the first one that Esme learnt was how to ask for milk.
Yeah, so I'm saying it was obviously seen as something they could use for comedy then, but nowadays maybe that wouldn't translate because it seems that that's quite a normal thing to do now.
Gotcha. I'm with you now.
Right.
I mean, and yes, the answer is yes, that is quite normal now, at least amongst us middle-class parents.
Yeah. Did she learn the sign for quinoa quite young as well?
She learned her first signs were milk and then all gone. To say something was all gone. Which, actually, learning how to say something's all gone, but pointless, because you can see it's all gone. She also knew the signs for duck and bird.
That's the same thing. A duck and a bird's the same thing.
No.
Yes, it is.
Not when you're a kid. Ducks are very specific. I can actually do the duck and the bird. You could probably guess what they are. It's not rocket science.
Okay.
Crocodile. What is the sign for crocodile? I think it's snapping.
No, look, I get why she needs to learn milk because she needs to tell you when she's hungry.
Yeah.
What on earth? Unless she's in the Everglades, why does she need to learn what crocodile is?
I don't know.
Pointless. Because then she had to relearn it when she learned to speak. You're teaching her something twice.
Mm.
On to the next one.
Yeah.
I don't know whose turn it is, so why don't we say you're going to go first?
Okay.
So what would you have been watching on this date?
I can't hand on heart say I would have been watching it on this date, but let's say I've watched it in the past. my choice is Trisha. I used to watch Trisha when she was on Channel 4. When she moved to Channel 5, I didn't watch her. And I think she was on Channel 5 in 2005.
I mean, I thought she was ITV, so I'm in shock.
Oh, you're right. It was, I mean, ITV to Channel 5. Yeah, you're right.
Okay.
So Trisha Goddard, I don't know, like she was quite more hard hitting, wasn't she? So I don't, okay, she's not Oprah because Oprah was a bit too hard hitting. She's not Ricky Lake because that was too like, she's more like a Sally Jesse Raphael.
Yeah, I think so because she used to have semi-serious subjects on, didn't she?
Yeah. And she was on in the morning about 9:30, was it?
Mm-hmm.
She was on every day of the week.
Different hot topics, wasn't she? She was discussing.
Yeah. And yeah, she lasted, according to Wikipedia, 1998 to 2004, her original run.
She was replaced by Jeremy Kyle, I believe, wasn't she?
Well, she replaced Vanessa Phelps. Mm. And then, yeah, she was replaced by Jeremy Kyle. And then she moved across to Channel 5. And that's when it all went a bit pear-shaped.
Yeah.
I mean, I think she still did all right for Channel 5.
I think ITV kind of own the daytime ratings, don't they?
Yeah.
It's kind of an unofficial thing that ITV... I don't know why that is, but it seems during the daytime, ITV are the winners and BBC are the winners at night. Would you say that's true?
Yes. Although I wouldn't say that's true for breakfast telly nowadays because I can't abide most of the presenters on ITV.
Richard Madeley's on there. You know I'm his only fan. I like Richard.
Well, I would say BBC over to ITV, then there's just a big gap in the afternoon and then BBC picks up the reins in the evening.
I mean, I'm working, so I'm not sure what you're doing, telesurfing.
Sometimes it helps me to think. So anyway, Trisha Goddard, I think, is quite a game old bird. Don't know if I can say that in real reality.
That's what you called Annika Rice. Is she in the same category as Annika Rice?
I would put her in the same category as Annika Rice, yeah.
All right, let's make a game old bird category. So far we've got Annika and Trisha in it.
I think she is. I think she's quite, you know.
Up for a laugh?
Yeah, I do think so. She's done a few, hasn't she done a few reality shows since the career?
Has she? Went.
What did she do? I feel like she did something like the Jump or...
Oh, did she?
Not The Jump, because I feel like she might have died if she'd done The Jump. But... I made this up. I feel like she's done that or dancing on ice. I feel like it's Dancing on Ice.
Has she done that?
Yeah, 2020 she was on Dancing on Ice.
To be fair, I don't really watch Dancing on Ice, so I don't know why I'm surprised, but I thought I was quite aware of who'd been on it. Clearly not. 2020. I mean, it's not like I had anything else to do in 2020 other than watch telly. I should have known.
To be fair to you, Dancing on Ice was before the big, you know.
Oh, yeah, I guess, because it's the beginning, isn't it?
Yeah, January.
Yeah.
I think the thing was that she was horrific on Dancing on Ice, but, you know, good on her.
Well, it's that thing, isn't it, of being... She was obviously a little bit older when she went on it, and I don't think you can do Dancing on Ice when you're older.
I mean, I couldn't do Dancing on Ice now, but...
Well, so. You're older, Zoe. We're older.
Hang on, I'm not in the same category as Trisha Goddard, thank you very much.
You're not a game old bird yet, that's I'm for not. Sure.
God, if I ever end up being called a game old bird, I'll be so upset. I do not want to be one of those people who grows old disgracefully.
You would never be a game old bird. You weren't a game young bird, let alone old one. So that's never going to happen, don't worry.
Good, good. I want a bit of decorum.
When you get older, even like... walking on icy pavements is frightening, even just for us. So,
talking of yesterday morning, nearly went over on my backside. Didn't realise how icy it was yesterday morning.
It was very icy. And you laughed at me for falling over this time last year.
Oh, I didn't laugh at you because you broke your arm.
You did laugh about it, Zoe.
Oh, okay. Well,
in fact, you told me to stop moaning on day two. just because I said I'd taken some Nurofen. Apparently, you were over it.
Oh, milking it.
Milking it. Day two. I was still in plaster.
Absolutely milking it.
Okay, shall we move on from Trisha?
Yeah, let's.
I'm excited about my one because really like this show. I would have been watching Desperate Housewives.
You did get in there early doors with this one.
I was very excited. Normally, I let you choose first because I can normally pull something out the bag for something obscure, but I was not letting you have Desperate Housewives. No.
Yeah, I noticed that.
I know I say this with sweeping statements a lot, but this is one of my favourite TV shows ever made. I love it so much. I've rewatched it a few times. It's a big old series to rewatch as well because they're hour-long episodes.
And how many seasons were there?
It's 8 seasons.
And there were like however many episodes, quite a lot.
24, 22, 24, whatever, you know, like they're big, aren't they?
Oh, that makes me feel exhausted just even thinking about it.
But you watched it, didn't you, when it was on?
Yeah, only once. I'm not watching it again.
I remember watching this, and again, it relates back to where I was working at the time. I don't think I saw it when it very, very first came out. I was Virgin Megastores. And every single year, one of the managers had to stay overnight while we got the carpets cleaned. So there used to be a carpet cleaner come in. And unfortunately, it was my turn. And I'd like done all the, you know, there's not that much you can do when it's shut. I'd done all the stuff I needed to do. So I went and sat in the staff room and got a DVD off the shelf. And I thought, oh, I'll try this Desperate Housewives box set. Well, I was annoyed when the carpet cleaner finished at 5 a.m. and I could go home, if I was being honest.
Changed your life.
So I then had to just every single lunchtime watch the rest of it until I'd watched the entire first season. And then from that point, I used to watch it on telly when it came on. I just think it's brilliant. It was so funny and well written and well observed.
I can't remember when I started watching it, but I feel like I was pretty much in it from the beginning.
I think you might have watched it before I did. I think you were an early adopter. This was obviously produced by, because I've just remembered this, that when I went to Universal Studios in LA, we did the backlot tour and we actually saw the street.
Mm-hmm.
It was actually filmed in Universal Studios. They were filming it, but the tour was still going past and we had to be told you had to be quiet. And obviously they had like the actors were blocked off so we couldn't actually see them, but we saw like the houses and it was so cool to actually see the street. And it looks so much like a normal street. You would never guess that just at the end of it is a tram load of idiot tourists gulping at them.
Well, yeah, but it doesn't really look like, it's like a cookie cutter kind of street as it is.
But still, it was really, really well done.
No, it was a great show. And yeah, I'm pretty sure I watched it from the beginning. But I do think it was of its time. I'm not entirely sure, convinced that if I was to watch it now, I'd enjoy it so much.
You should watch it now. It's on Disney Plus for anyone in the UK that hasn't seen it. I did rewatch it, the whole thing again during the first lockdown. I may rewatch it again this year because I left it in 2021. So maybe I'll go back in 2022 and watch it again.
God.
I mean, Gabby Solis, who Eva Longoria played, is one of the greatest characters, I think, in any TV show. She was just hilarious in it. She was so good at that part. I was desperate to get Holly or her sister Emma to do a Desperate Housewives podcast with me where we rewatched every episode because I think that would be great.
No, that sounds like a too much dedication. Because once you'd started that, you'd have to like see it through.
It's a big commitment.
Yeah.
Because I just think that their observations would be so good because I think they would see a completely different perspective as what I would see in it.
I feel like in terms of audience,
it's niche. It's probably even nicher than this one.
I mean, I don't think I'd listen if that's any gauge.
I mean, you did listen to my other podcast, so I've immediately lost one listener.
Yeah, but I listened to the other podcast because A, it was a novelty, and B, out of loyalty.
Well, and above all, it was good. right?
Yeah, but those your episodes are way too long.
They were. But you know what I did? I took all the mistakes that I made with theme park films and hopefully rectified them in this one.
Yeah, this one's polished as.
If you think this is unprofessional, go and listen.
Yeah, exactly.
To my first podcast. So I'm thinking by the next one, if I did a Desperate Housewife one, can you imagine how polished that would be?
Yeah, but great. Just no one would be listening to it.
I mean, yeah, sure. No one would listen.
What could be interesting, I mean, in a way this makes it even more niche, but I might be marginally interested in, is if you did like a watch along kind of thing.
A director's cut without the director.
That is a fair point.
Come on.
Some woman who lives above a Tesco Express in London.
So if someone would want to be like Will and get a cheap present for their brother and get a date on the show, how can they go about that?
Well, Carla, they can find us on social media at Number One Rerun. They can send us an email at number1rerun@hotmail.com, or they can submit a review on iTunes and put their date in their review. And their date just needs to be any date from 1978 to today, which is our lifetime. And as luck would have it, now we're in 2022, got an extra year to choose from.
So thank you very, very much to Will for sending in a date.
We're assuming your name is Will.
Yeah, it might not be Will, but that's just, I don't want to give out your iTunes handle. Does that matter? Can you do anything with an iTunes handle? I don't think it matters if we give it.
But maybe suggest that if your name's not Will, you might want to change that because it's quite misleading.
I think his name would be Will because I think someone that calls a child William would also call a child Ben.
You're right.
And that's not a diss in any way. I just think there's a theme with those two names.
Agreed.
Yep.
They're a William and a Benjamin, I think.
Yeah. Happy birthday, Ben. And we will see you in the next one.
Thank you. Bye.